start out this morning with the song, He Reigns, and Psalm 97 says, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. When I read that, it makes me realize how happy I am that God has it under control, because I surely do not. So let's lift our voices together. Dan's going to get us started singing, but you please sing right along with him as we sing together, He Reigns.
The redeemed rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir.
Lift it up.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory. Dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, He reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. 'Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word.
Come on, church.
When all God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, He reigns. When all God's children sing out glory,
peace of Christ, and then have a seat, and then we'll do the formal welcoming. Welcome one another to the service and worship. school site. I know. You could go ahead and take a seat for a moment. If you're a guest among us today, we certainly offer a word of special welcome to you and pray that your time among us is one that you know God's anointing is with you. If you would like to share your contact information, you can use the communication card in the worship folder to do that. The worship folder has several things I want to draw your attention to. One is the white insert has our final three fall What's Up Wednesday startup sessions. They begin October 11th. So we have several later term starts here. We already have about 150 adults, teenagers, and children involved in Wednesday evening faith growth study opportunities. But here are three great additional ones. And I want to lift up specifically, if you're in the parenting game, that parenting phase of your life at all, the parenting adventure preparing your kid for a life with God, Pastor Zane Wilson and his wife Kathy are facilitating that. And it is an outstanding study and resource. So parents, highly encourage you. Grandparents that are involved in parenting through significant roles, I encourage you very much to consider that. Child care is provided. There's a oranges-type sheet in here for the chili kickoff that's part of the October 15th Fall Fest when we honor military veterans and service personnel. If you make chili, we need entrance into that contest. We make enough that those coming into the neighborhood can partake of it. If you don't know how to make chili, just give it a crack and let's see what happens. And the green sheet pertains to also the one sign-up board outside the door here. Fall Fest is not successful, and it's been significantly successful here, especially last year as we are emergency relief responders, first responders, and police. We had great success, but it's not possible without a community effort. If you have not considered how you can plug in, please prayerfully look at that and look at the sign-up board outside as well. Last week, you're aware, we received a special sacrificial offering. Take a bite out of the debt. There's still a few more of those gifts have come in, but in that one offering, over $16,000 came in to hammer down that debt even more. That $16,000 is one half of what we're currently paying on interest. Is part of our budget amount. All those dollars go completely to the principal. I think I figured out that 4% loan, I think that saves us about $400 right away in interest payments. So thank you so much for your generosity and our evidence that we are better together. Won't you rise as able as we worship our God on this Holy Communion Sunday?
I wanted to read to you from Psalm 100 this morning. This is all about bringing praise and thanksgiving before God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. On this World Communion Sunday, I kind of tried to choose some songs that were about all nations, all creeds, all races, bringing honor, singing praise and thanksgiving to God. So we're going to start out this morning with a new hallelujah, and Kim and Jamie are going to get us started. You can hear in my voice that I'm a little froggy this morning. And I can remember back in the day when I had to sing no matter what, because there wasn't that many singers. But we are so blessed to have so many great singers up here now to lead you guys. So know that I am singing in my heart, even as it doesn't come out of my mouth. It's in my head, believe me, and in my heart. Go ahead, Nate. Let's pray together. Holy God, we sing from our hearts. We lift our voices to you in praise and thanksgiving just because you are who you are, not because of, well, it is because of the things that you do, but more than that, it's just because you are who you are. The Holy God, our blessed Redeemer, the Rock, you are all things to us. As we come together this morning, we're mindful of people all over the world who are lifting their voices to you and are partaking in the sacrament of Holy Communion today. Thank you for that gift. Thank you that the table is open to all And I thank you for Aldersgate Church that makes that so evident, that each one of us is welcome. We don't have to have ourselves together when we come before the throne and come to that table. All we have to have is willing hearts that want to commune with you. You're so good, and you give us a new opportunity each and every day. So here we are, a new day, and your mercies are unending, Lord. As we sing to you, I pray that you would help us to know your Holy Spirit. We don't have to call you here. You're in this place. There's no doubt about that. You're in front of us, behind us. And I know I say it all the time, but best of all, you're inside us. So thank you for your Holy Spirit. I just pray that you would be pleased with the condition of our hearts as we worship you on this day. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray all these things. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Beautiful song. We're going to, today, because of communion, we're going to combine the prayer time and our offering. We have three shawls up here on the kneeler today. One is for Stephanie with a heart ailment. One is for Wade, who is hospitalized. Oh my gosh, I just forgot how to say that word. Hospitalized. Is that right? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus, that he takes us just as we are. That's what I say. And also a prayer, offer prayers for Bridget. But something else that I just thought of as I'm getting ready to say this, the choir is going to be up front, so it will be hard for you to get to the kneelers. But during communion time, you can come up and pray over those shawls if you feel led. Also, the blue cards are in the back of the pews, and so if you have a joy or a concern that you'd like to write down and bring that up, you can also do that during the communion time. The choir is going to come forward, and the choir and praise team are going to offer the song, The Table. We're all welcome to the table if the choir wants to come forward, and the ushers also.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. And I won't hunger anymore at his table.
He will restore.
sourced in you, to shine for Jesus here and beyond, that the world might know. And dear God, this day we lift up especially our sisters and brothers.
On this World Communion Sunday, we're blessed to have a variety of voices reminding us just how diverse the table of the Lord is and how complete the Spirit's reach is. Reverend David Willard, one of the retired clergy among us, is coming to share at this time. And then we'll hear from Brad Morgan of 10,000 Villages.
Morning, church. As you know, Pastor Troy is often spontaneous and just does things off the cuff. And I texted him this week and said, I had a Kairos moment. Could I share it? So here I am. Now, if you were here for the past two Sundays, you know that Pastor Troy's focus with his meditation and message was about time. And he looks specifically at the New Testament use of time in the two Greek words. I'm not going to rehearse all of that. But if you recall, he had three tomatoes laying up here. A green one, a partially ripe one, and a red one. And the red one represented what we're supposed to be when we are in God's time. As I said at 8 o'clock, Pastor Troy, from pastor to pastor, you were spot on. Good job. Well done. And your thoughts gave Sherry and I some thoughts with our devotional time for actually 2 weeks off and on. And I said to Sherry, wouldn't it be nice if we had a certificate of appreciation to give Troy? I don't have a certificate of appreciation. But I do have a book of 1,000 S&H Green stamps. They're already pasted. You don't have to lick them. All right. This started out as what I thought could be a humorous thing. But let me tell you a little bit more about the S&H Green stamps. My wife Sherry has been lamenting for some time that she has a ceramic pumpkin, which she hasn't seen in years. She was convinced that it's tucked away someplace in a box of stuff in one part of our basement. And we have a lot of things that have accumulated down there and a lot of things that are boxed up. I'm not sure, but I think she said she reminded me of that pumpkin last year and possibly even the year before. So this week, the basement trip was made. And I randomly selected a box, took it over to another part of our basement, and started going through piece by piece, things that were carefully wrapped in paper. Unfolded one thing and another. By golly, I found the pumpkin. Kept going. You won't believe this, but at the bottom of the box was a book of 1,000 S&H green stamps. And some little books. Some don't have stamps in, others do. Then I looked at the paper in which these things were wrapped. They were wrapped in newspaper from the Sunday Patriot. Was that me? From the Sunday Patriot News, October 17th, 1999. And would you believe one of the feature headline stories? Irene takes aim at a weary North Carolina. Hurricane has just hit Cuba, Florida, and is now launching its way toward North Carolina. Wow. Oh, incidentally, Penn State won that weekend over Ohio State. 23-10. Also, an ad from a bank, no longer in existence. But folks, on that day, that weekend, you could have gotten a 25-month CD paying 6.15%. But we're not going to get that interest anymore. Can't redeem S&H green stamps anymore. They might be valuable as a collector's item for some antique shop. I don't know. Huh? Oh, yeah, they're yours, yeah. After the 11 o'clock service. And just in case you want to lick some, I do have some loose stamps. You could have done it when you were a boy, but today there'd be some health hazard to that. You couldn't do it. Now, the Kairos moment. How God works. I'm going through keepsakes and things that are in this box. On my knees, actually, taking the things out of the box, and I couldn't help, absolutely couldn't help but think of people in Texas and Florida, most certainly Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, who have lost everything. Everything. And it made me think and appreciate UMCOR. If you do not know what UMCOR is, it's our United Methodist Committee on Relief. It's an outreach arm and agency of our church that has probably been in existence for 50 years. We're a connectional church, and when we provide an offering, it goes to a specific cause, such as hurricane relief in Texas. Troy indicated that we have not yet gotten the UMCOR service numbers and the specifics for Puerto Rico or for Florida, but it will come. When Harvey hit Texas, I sent a text to Troy saying, "Do we have an UMCOR number yet?" "Yeah, we just got it." And Sherry and I made a contribution. We have things and we have stuff. God spoke to me. It's an amazing thing because last Sunday, Troy just casually made reference to S&H green stamps. I don't know why he did that. And who would have thought that I have been rummaging through a box and found S&H green stamps? And how God speaks to us, Kairos moments. We will be hearing more about our opportunity to give and to share through our UMCOR offerings or the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And it makes us part of a connectional church with the assurance that every penny that we give goes to its intended use. So this mission moment is that we clearly, as Troy just expressed in his prayer, would keep these people in our thoughts, in our hearts, and in whatever way we can reach out when the opportunity presents itself to share what we have. Amen.
Thank you, David. Brad Morgan,
of Aldersgate Church and also of 10,000 Villages, a Mennonite church ministry, will now share. We have a video.
Mothers all over the world help their children to overcome the obstacles of life to fulfill their dreams. Rena Durie, an artisan of Bebordon handmade paper, has one of those inspiring stories to share. In 2002, Rena and her husband were working hard to earn enough to feed their family and put their children through school. As a child, Rena had dreamt of going into nursing or becoming an office worker, but was unable to finish school because of her family's low income.
I want my daughter to be educated so she can do an important job.
In rural Agaljara, Bangladesh, jobs are scarce and day laborers like her husband are paid low wages for seasonal agricultural work. Determined to provide her family with enough food, Rena found a job at Bebordon Handmade Paper. Working alongside women who were widowed, separated, or needed a way to support their families, she gained experience and earned a fair wage. The women were taught how to make paper out of water hyacinth, an abundant plant that clogs the many waterways in Bangladesh. Over time, Rena became a specialist in mixing the eco-friendly dyes that color the handmade paper and taught others the skill.
I want to work here for a long time. Now I am leading a very sound and healthy life, a better life.
With the money Rena was able to save, she bought a rickshaw van for her husband, who could then transport people and deliver goods for additional income. She bought 2 cows to provide milk for her family and some to sell. Rena and her family were able to eat fish and twice the amount of rice they could afford before she worked at Bebordon. It's 2017 and Rena continues her work at Bebordon Handmade Paper, a longtime partner of 10,000 Villages. A sustainable livelihood has helped her realize many of her dreams she expressed 15 years ago. Her son Anjan now studies at a dental college, and her daughter Antara is now completing a nursing degree.
At the end of the day, all I want to see is my kids happy and having prosperous lives. They are my beacon of hope for a better future.
My name is Brad Morgan, and one of the roles in life I get to play is I'm the finance guy on the executive team at 10,000 Villages, and that's really what our mission is. It's all about empowering people through fair trade to elevate themselves, and typically in fair trade, what it's all about is we go into places where you have artisans who have a really unique skill, can build beautiful crafts, but they happen to live in an area where they are at a significant economic or cultural disadvantage. Most of the artisans that we serve are women. And you know, fair trade basically, as opposed to unfair trade in that circumstances, we come alongside the artisans and we pay them what their product is really worth. Again, we're a nonprofit, so we can, our mission is to help them. So by paying them what their product's worth, we also engage with them and partner with them so that they take that extra money and they invest in capacity building, they invest in bringing on employees, and you know, invest in all the things they need to do so that someday they won't need us at all and they'll be able to compete out in the free market and sell their goods to anybody else. So that's really the life cycle of an artisan that works with us. So that's really that's our goal. And it's so awesome to work there and just be a part of these stories. So One of the things we like to do is we like to invite our customers and people in the community to become part of the story. And that's why I'm here today. 10,000 Villages has about 60 retail stores all throughout the country. We have one right down the road in Mechanicsburg. And we also have several hundred wholesale accounts, you know, gift shop retailers that want to carry fair trade product and be part of the story. So we are offering through the holiday season, when you go by the giant gift card table, you'll also be able to buy 10,000 Villages gift cards. So we're in the holiday season. You can't lose by giving somebody a gift of a 10,000 Villages card and be able to go in and get some of these awesome products and become part of that story. Also, I'd like you to do, I got a minute or two. Most of you have smartphones and you're on Facebook, Twitter. Some of you might be doing that right now. Go ahead, go on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Snapface, whatever it is, and find 10,000 Villages Mechanicsburg, like them, become part of the story, share it, talk about it. I promised the folks at the store that I would be really good at this and compelling, and that they would get at least 100 more likes on their page, and then you become part of that story. So again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you. And again, I hope that you'll take advantage of that. And one other thing, we want to partner with the faith communities all over the country. And part of this program, 10% of what you buy from on the gift card there goes back to Aldersgate Church. So appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, yeah. There's a sample, just a small sample of some of the products that we have out there in the narthex, so you can kind of see some of the things. They're a lot of the holiday related items. So, thanks.
The Mechanicsburg store that Brad alludes to is 15 South, right before you get to Dillsburg. It's the Messiah College exit right there. And in various churches I've served and youth ministry connections, we've used that store as an opportunity to set the table to broaden youth's understanding of economic challenges, social challenges, and diversity of cultures. So we encourage you to follow Brad in that ministry invitation that he offers. God, indeed, on this World Communion Sunday is setting a table for us not to just come in isolation, but for us to arrive at the table and realize, wow, this table involves the children of God, the diversity of God, the power of God's creation. And we have yet one more special share today, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but I'd like first to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 47, the power of table gathering and of the diversity of Christ in the unity of Christ at that table. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This was the proclamation that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, the fulfilled Messiah prophecy. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." Who does God call to him? I'm interjecting a question. Everyone, everyone. This is a universal cry and invitation to the table. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, ate their food with glad and with generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all people. Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I set it up this morning that you would now hear a 12, 15-minute message on this, but God has set the table that you've seen the message brought visually and testimonially through David Willard, Brad Morgan, and we're about to hear from another special guest. But the focus of this scriptural truth is still very much alive. They devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. That is true table talk. When we gather at a table, not just to fill our bellies, but true gathering at the table. Think about the table in your home or in your childhood, if it's no longer practiced in your home, where the table was the gathering place of food and nourishment, but it went far beyond that. It was a place of fellowship, getting to know one another and the differences. It was a place of teaching where we were taught, hopefully we were taught manners at table. We were also taught to share and the dangers of gluttony. We did break the bread. And how many of you had tables growing up that involved prayer? You know, for years the church has had its mouth full about complaining about no longer prayer in school. And how many of us are vacuous when it comes to prayer at our table? The table of the Lord is a table to set us for life. That's the institution of the Lord's Supper. And one of those life gifts comes as faith indwells in us, and then we act on faith. And because we act on faith and give and participate, our faith in turn is nourished and grows. We're privileged this day to have Jennifer and Sarah Bolibel with us. Sarah is a 16-year-old ambassador for Operation Christmas Child. We participate in that. You know, the boxes we'll be handing out soon? Usually we have 300 boxes or so we hand out, and here are Jennifer and Sarah. Sarah is the 16-year-old ambassador daughter, but I asked Jennifer to come and say a word. This all came about just in the last 48 hours or so after our district superintendent sent an email out. So, Jennifer?
Good morning. I have to smile. My husband is also a pastor in the Poconos. So I want to tell you, he grew up in a United Methodist church in the suburbs of D.C. We met and married at a big church called Willow Creek in Chicago, and God brought us to the Poconos. And lo and behold, his family was having a family reunion in South Carolina when my daughter started selling goods to go to Africa. And who did she sell goods to but your district superintendent, Pastor Barry? So that is why we are here, and that's why Sarah's going to tell you why what you guys do matter to these kids, each individually. You can see there's a table out back that you guys can grab some special reports, you can grab some boxes, you can see what came back from Africa, so you can see the real people who you guys are impacting.
Good morning, everyone. As you already know, my name is Sarah Lively, and I serve on the Student Relations Volunteer Team year-round with Operation Christmas Child. And as a part of this role, I encourage youth in our region and teenagers of all ages to be involved in the ministry of Operation Christmas Child and what it does, what it stands for, and to be able to pack more and more shoeboxes each and every year. And so this year I had the amazing opportunity to go to Madagascar, Africa, to deliver shoeboxes with 21 other youth from across the country and 11 adults that work year-round in Operation Christmas Child's ministry. So in this first slide, you can see the two different islands we went to, Nosy Be and Nosy Kamba, and this is just like an overall like bird's eye view of the island. And then if you go to the next slide, you can really see the poverty that is stricken throughout the country, which really hit each of us hard when we first went there. Because if you can picture this, like we walked into the country knowing that it was gonna be poor, but not really realizing how poor that was gonna be. And so you would see on the roads, everyone walking places, everyone walking to their job. There were no public transportation, no cars. And you can see in the right bottom-hand corner picture, all these little huts. Each family had no more than 200 square feet for their entire family. So you can just picture a tiny room in your house, maybe even your living room. I don't think we can even imagine as Americans our entire family living off of that space. And so for us to be able to go to this country and show these kids how much we care about them is super important. So these families, the women can spend hours cooking each and every day just to prepare one meal. And in the next slide, you can see the clothes drying out in the sun. There's no electricity, no washer and dryer, none of these things that we take for granted in America. So their clothes could be drying for days until they were dry. If there was no sun, then they would still be wet. And they have like just a large basin that everyone in the whole village would go to. So these things that we take for granted, having running water and everything, really touched my heart to see how these people live in their everyday lives. And so God really taught me the importance of gratefulness, because a lot of us think, well, we don't have this, or we want this, and why don't I have this? But these kids don't even have gifts that they have ever received until they received this Operation Christmas Child shoebox. It's the first gift that they've ever received in their entire life. So I just wanted you to see the vision that, like, these families, the average salary in Madagascar is $2 a day. That's $720 in an entire year. Some of us complain about not getting that in a week, let alone a year. And so these people are really super dedicated to doing whatever they can in order to provide for their family, even if it's only one meal a day. They work as hard as they possibly can just to make their children happy at the end of the day. So you can go to the next slide. We got to go to 6 distributions and pass out a little bit over 1,000 shoeboxes to 1,000 different kids. And you can see in this picture, at each distribution, there was a time where we got to meet the kids, and then they were singing songs of praise, and then they did a little skit, and then the gospel was shared with them. And so in these pictures, you can see how anxious the kids are just to hear the gospel for the very first time. They're standing up, leaning forward, just to hear what the ministry partner is sharing with them. And then they really thought that it was super important just to hear the gospel for the very first time. And so they learned how Jesus had died on the cross for their sins, and by faith they could believe in him, that he died and rose again, and that they could have a relationship personally with him. And they had never heard about this before, so it was super special to share this with them. And then you can go to the next slide. After all of this was done, we got to pass out the shoeboxes to each and every kid. We started with the 14-year-olds and worked our way down to the 2-year-olds. And you can see in some of the pictures, especially the bottom left one, there's some little girls smiling and posing for the picture, whereas in some of the other ones, some of the kids didn't really know what to think because they had never received a gift, so they didn't know what their expression should be. And so it was definitely just amazing to see the different faces and how this little tiny gift that we don't ever think will make an impact really made an impact in each of these children's lives. So you can go to the next slide. This is the Greatest Gift booklet, which I'm sure you've heard of the Greatest Journey, which is a 12-week devotional the kids do after they receive the shoebox. But this greatest gift booklet has the basic stories of the gospel. It starts with creation and goes all the way through Jesus' ministry on earth and his death and resurrection, and shows the kids how they can grow with a personal relationship with God. And so it was super special to see they valued everything in their box, but even more, this greatest gift booklet that had the stories of Jesus in it. And you could tell they were very worried unless they knew where that booklet was gone. And if they had lost it, they almost started crying. So it was super special to see that. And one of the kids that really touched my heart was Princia. You can see her on the next slide. This is her village, and we went to this village at the beginning. You saw Nosy Kamba. This was her village, and the village was surrounded by witchcraft, and that was practiced regularly. So you could tell there was a whole different atmosphere in the village, whereas the other villages we had gone to, some of them had heard of Jesus and some of them hadn't, but this one was totally isolated. And so the ministry that Operation Christmas Child does is to get into those dark villages that have never heard the name of Jesus. And so there was a missionary that had been on this island for years just trying to minister to these people. And she went door to door begging these kids to come to the distribution, because without doing that, the parents would have forbidden them to come. And so you can see in the middle picture, there's people looking through the windows just to watch the kids' faces. So not only the kids are changed, but their families are changed, and the village is changed, and the whole community is changed. So on the next slide, you can see this is Princia, and you can see she's a two-year-old from this village, and she was a little girl who really touched my heart, and I got to give her her box, and she sat on my lap for like 30 or 45 minutes, and we got to open each thing in her box. She had a little bouncy ball and a little light-up toy and some Tootsie Rolls that she was super fascinated by. After three of them, I was like, you cannot have any more because you're going to get sick. But, and then as you can see in the right picture, there's a panda bear, and I actually brought two stuffed animals from home, and God laid on my heart the two kids to give them to, and Princia was one of the kids who I gave them to. And as soon as she received this panda bear, you could just see the joy on her face. She had this immediate smile and started kissing its nose and hugging it, and it was super special just to see how one stuffed animal can really mean so much to a little child. And so you can go to the next slide. You can see in the top right-hand corner, there's me passing out a shoebox at a church. And the little girl in the top, I got to teach how to jump rope. We got to play ball with the kids and really just be firsthand in their life and in how this box had influenced them. And so I just wanted to challenge you as a church this year to pack boxes. And when you think of the box, don't think of the things you're packing in the box as just things and items. Picture a kid's face and how much you will really impact their lives personally. And think about how their faces will light up when they see this first gift they've gotten in their entire life. And so just remember to have those wow items like stuffed animals and balls and things that really catch the kids' eyes and show them how much we really care for them. And this is a picture of our team and how we got to meet all the Malagasy people in the ministry partners there. And so I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to come to your church and speak about this amazing trip that I will never forget.
God has set the table, church. It's not ours, it's his. God has created the world. It's not ours, it's his. God has given us Jesus. Jesus is given to all the world. And Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace and harmony one with another. I invite you to turn to page 30 in the United Methodist hymnal, the red hymnal, page 30. And to prepare to join in a prayer of humble access, that we might be more open to be in fellowship, in communion, in learning, in growth, in maturity and in the perfect peace of Jesus as we come to this table. Let us pray. Lord God, you sent Jesus into the world, and he said to us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Lord God, Jesus ate with sinners. He spoke with women in daylight and high noon when there was something to be ostracized for. He interacted with those on all social and economic levels. He did not assess the color of someone's skin. And though he could assess the content of character, he saw to the core of who they were, a child made in your holy image. Lord, those aspects of Jesus should convict each of us right now for the ways this culture and this world has commandeered our minds and our hearts as we assess character by the color of skin or by social or economic standing or by whether someone is a male or female. We are grateful, Lord, that Jesus ate with sinners, because that's good news for us. And we are grateful, Lord, that he used imperfect people to rise from the table to share the good news, because that's good news for us. And so through Jesus Christ, by whom and with whom, in unity with the Spirit, you are with us, Father, to glorify you and to build your kingdom, we now prepare to access this table with humility, and we pray together as one. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under the table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us, and grant us your peace. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Jesus, that in turn we might become for the world the body of Christ to feed and nourish, and the blood of Christ to cleanse and practice tangible forgiveness. By your Spirit, make us one with Jesus, and by your Spirit, awaken us to the great diversity this day that we're sitting alongside, beyond our differences, in the oneness that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The body of Christ broken, that in our brokenness we might know God's wholeness. The cup of blessing, God's love poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. I invite those serving communion to come forward, having cleansed their hands. You'll be given a portion of bread that you'll then dip into the chalice. Don't dip your fingers in the chalice, just the bread. Receive it directly, or you'll be given bread, and you may choose to instead receive a small cup of blessing and to take that separately. During communion, we will be offering a video of world communion throughout the world, and we ask in Christ's name that you take that in as we worship. Please. The ushers would please direct us.
Come to the table, worship the Savior, taste what forgiveness is for. His mercy will lead us, the grace of God feed us, making us hungry for more. His body was given for you and for me. Look on the cross and reconciled us, we live sanctified to become